Browns are never complacent. They bring in Marquise Goodwin to add to Elijah Moore. They just did that a couple of days ago. We'll explore what that really means for the wide receiver room and for some of the young guys. And as OL, we'll get to some mock draft stuff. We just finished up with free agency. Let's get into the draft. We forget draft is part of the game too. So everything continues to roll on here. Keep it locked on this episode of the Locked On Browns podcast.
You are Locked On Browns, your daily Cleveland Browns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, your daily delivery of all things Dog Pound, LGB on the LOB, the Locked On Browns podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Your host, Jeff Lloyd, at Jeff underscore LJ underscore Lloyd. Also from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, 11 to 1, live Monday through Friday on YouTube. The Barber Shop, Saturday morning, sometimes 8 to 12, sometimes 10 to 2, 92.3 The Fan. On-air personality, Garrett Bush at GBush91. For all your Locked On Browns content, make sure you are subscribed on YouTube, notifications on. It's been popping. It was an incredible week. A lot more traffic here to the Locked On Browns YouTube. First off, to anybody new, thank you. And you're going to be a regular. This is like Cheers now. You're here where everybody knows your name. You're in, you're locked. You ain't leaving. And we do appreciate you all for that. When we left you last, and obviously, after a great week last week, a ton more subscribers, a lot more traffic the last couple episodes. The Browns didn't cease to slow down. We're recording here for Monday, Sunday, brought in a reserve offensive lineman, had a relationship with Bill Callahan, back in Washington in 2019. Some of these reserve Browns offensive linemen, they've been here for a while. So, I mean, if you got your opportunity to maybe go somewhere else and maybe a better sniff at playing time, some of these guys maybe going to start wandering out the doors here. But on Friday, Marquise Goodwin, and this had been the talk, obviously, last week. You know, the Browns had interest in Marquise Goodwin, guy formerly a 4.27 40 guy, track athlete at the University of Texas, in addition to his football exploits. You want somebody that can basically take the top off of the defense. Marquise Goodwin comes in and does that on top of the Elijah Moore. I've heard some people saying that one, you know, it was two of the same, and you're all disrespecting Elijah Moore if you even go in that route. Look, Marquise Goodwin has done what he's done here in the NFL, and, you know, he's been around because he brings this certain element. He has great vertical ability. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be counted on a ton here. Ideally, the scenario for you, and we're going to get to more wide receiver talk in segment two, and we'll get to a little mock draft Monday. I know it's a little, you know, you Browns fans who are big into the draft, yeah, it's a tough year when the first pick you hold is 74. But, you know, for those of you who are the diehards, segment three is where we got you covered. But Goodwin comes in, G. And part of this is, you know, basically a little CYA, for the Browns here. You know, look, something goes wrong here. You know, and you lose one guy, you can't be scrambling. You know, you've got to be able to cover yourself. And Marquise Goodwin can do this with his ability to get vertical. Amari Cooper, we all know about the route running ability. Elijah Moore, we all know about the route running ability. You know, David Njoku, we all see that yoked up to 270. David, could you, lose a couple of pounds, man? 270 is freaky as hell, first off, as a tight end. But you want to be able to create more room for these guys to operate. Marquise Goodwin does this. He does it in spades. It certainly doesn't hurt that his agent is the same agent for Deshaun Watson. So there is that aspect of it. But you bring this guy in here, and this is, and for me, G, you know, we'll get some thoughts here from you on Goodwin, but we've talked a lot, you know, and I've mentioned a lot here, you know, on shows I've done outside of this, is self-scouting yourself. You know, look, you are only as good and as good as you can be by looking what you're doing, what's working, what's not working. And for the Browns, wide receiver, it's really tough to say that 3 years as administration, your biggest hit at the wide receiver position was a guy you took in the sixth round. The Browns have allocated other assets towards wide receivers. It has not working out to this point. If you've got a $233 million quarterback that you were paying guaranteed, and boo-hoo to the rest of the NFL, because the Browns may have made it difficult for you to deal with your quarterbacks because they guaranteed their quarterbacks money. Hey, it is what it is. Somebody was bound to do it, and the Cleveland Browns did. But with the self-scouting thing is, it's not working out as far as the way they evaluate the wide receivers or the way they develop them or a combination of both. Gee, so this point now is let's get guys in here who are proven commodities and we don't have to worry about A, our draft evaluations, B, developing. Let's get them in a system and let's get them going.
Yeah. I look at it like this. You know, they have not done a really good job of, you know, really going out and making sure that they can get receivers to develop. And one of the things that I've always been preaching since the top of the year was a sense of urgency. One of the things that we need to get to with the Browns is understand that we're not under the same timetable. We're no longer looking to develop quarterbacks and find our franchise guy and do some of the things that we've always been comfortable in. We've been looking for a franchise quarterback for 30 years. So we've been in a holding pattern for, okay, well, we need to get a quarterback. Now we can get some weapons. But if you don't ever find a quarterback, how can you ever properly evaluate the weapons? And just to be honest with you, what they've done in the draft has not been good enough. Donovan Peoples-Jones is the only person you've seen to develop. Your number one receiver in Amari Cooper, you had to go outside to get it. You tried drafting in the third round David Bell. He played okay, but he was not I wouldn't call David Bell a difference maker. And when you're playing against guys with in a division where you got Pickens and Deontay Johnson, and the obviously you know what the three-headed monster is in Cincinnati. Let's be clear. You know, there's receivers out there. The Miami Dolphins with their receiving core, and you got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle putting up over 1,000 plus yards and taking the top off defenses. You need an opportunity to give your franchise quarterback the same opportunity that some of these other guys have in making plays downfield. And the Cleveland Browns went out and said, "Look, we'll take Marquise Goodwin, a person that can run. He's had some experience in this league." And we believe he's a plug and play. We they take him as sort of a backup plan. You know, you can never have too many guys. You know, for so many years, I used to get frustrated listening to the Cleveland Browns because it was almost like, you know, we're predisposed to saying who we don't need. We don't need two of those. You know, even when we had a really great running back room, it was almost as if we were like, yo, we got Chubb, so screw Hunt, or we got Chubb and Hunt. So D'Ernest, no, instead of playing to your strengths and instead of saying, hey, let's always get better, let's always look to add talent, we're operating backwards. But I think this year it shows that the Browns are a team that want to be better. It shows the Browns are at a different position and in a different place in their franchise's history. And it shows you that there is pressure to win football games today rather than kicking the can down the road and trying to develop young talent. That's not the time for now. And coming up in our second segment, we'll talk about the receiver room. The young guys that were getting all those reps in 2 days and training camp and OTAs, those reps are going to be scarce now. And so you're going to have to make the best of your reps because the Browns still may even go out and draft another receiver to add to this group of people. So, you know, it's a different day for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, you know, a couple of things here. Look, you know, we talked about getting guys in here who, you know, late January football is an expectation. Marquise Goodwin's another one. A guy's played in a Super Bowl. You know, he knows what it takes. He knows what it's about. If you saw an article today, I know I'd retweeted and mentioned a lot of good nuggets in there. Juan Thornhill had some teams that maybe would have given a little bit more money. But Juan Thornhill, because Jim Schwartz kept kind of, you know, staying in touch with him, you know, Juan Thornhill, one of the reasons he chose it was, you know, he felt that the Browns were the best opportunity of these other teams that were maybe offering him a little bit more money. You know, these guys are accustomed to playing serious football. It should tell you what the expectation is now for the Cleveland Browns. You know, big time January football is what they are all about. As G said, we're going to shift it up here. The wide receiver room, I mean, it's two guys, but it is night and day as to where this wide receiver room was. And as far as there's a lot, like I think they have 14 on the roster right now. A lot of those guys, man, you know, good luck with everything and bust your butt, because most likely you're busting your butt to get you an opportunity somewhere else. Jeff Lloyd, G. Bush, your latest Locked On Browns. We are closing out the NBA regular season. I know you Cavs fans are getting a little excited, a little tingly. About to reach the NCAA Final Four. The Guardians are back on Thursday. Now would be the perfect time to check out FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use and navigate. And then you can bet on anything from the money line to individual point scores to three-pointers drained. Look, you got a Final Four coming up next weekend. You got some important Cavs games, close out the stretch, Guardians games. One of the things I love to do if I'm going to, it's like I'm not a big, big bettor, but I love the same game parlay. Take $5, take $10. Pick the game you're about to sit down and watch. Find 5, 6, 7 bets that you like, whatever. Put your money down. It's a small bet, but you have a chance to win big, because if you hit on 5, 6 of the bet, these bets that you put down, you're going to make some decent coin. So go ahead and check out FanDuel and check out their no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Welcome back to the Locked On Browns podcast. Thank you for making us your first listener of each and every day. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, hit the notification bell so you get all of our updated info and contact and content. Jeff, we talked to, in the first segment about what Marquise Goodwin means and more of a direction that the Cleveland Browns may be moving in. Let's take a look at the depth chart now. You know, right now, the Browns go from a position where, hey, you know, this was a position where they need to get better. But now look at the veteran guys that they've added to it. Marquise Goodwin, they added Elijah Moore. That's two guys right there. You look at already Donovan Peoples-Jones. Then you take a look at Amari Cooper. Now you look like you have a really pretty solid top four. Mitch, I would have to think that David Bell is going to be in it at that fifth receiver. Woods is a guy that they liked last year, but he came off some hamstring injuries and he was a little banged up, never was able to get his feet wet. Obviously, you have Anthony Schwartz, who was a guy right there that was, you know, one of the people we were looking forward to, and he was supposed to be the speed and deep threat. But and then you have to also throw in there a guy like Demetri Felton. We talked about him a little bit last week. He's a Swiss Army knife, special teams guy, could play running back a little bit. So as you can see, what went from a place where, you know, receiver was a place where, you know, if you could, you know, catch a few balls in training camp and, you know, get a couple grabs. This was a place a couple years ago where you could find a spot. The Jamarcus Bradleys of the world and some of these other, you know, these guys, you know, these guys was finding spots. This year, it's going to be slim pickings, because I got a sneaking suspicion that they may bring in another receiver, because the way they set up the Marquise Goodwin but the way they, you know, they traded for him, they still have 2 third-round picks. Do not be, you know, surprised if someone falls to them on their board and they take 2 of those 3s, package them with something else to move back into the second round and potentially get somebody. So, you know, I think this is something, because one of the things that you look at it right there, it showed me that Andrew Berry is not going to be able to, he's not giving an excuse to anybody saying, well, we didn't have enough weapons for Deshaun Watson. It looks like they went into the season saying, that's not what, no one's going to be able to tell us that. We're not going to lean on that and use that as an excuse, because he's looking to stock the cupboards when it comes to receivers. And I think this is going to be a competitive roster battle in OTAs. It's going to be competitive throughout 2 days in camp. And I don't know how many of these guys, these young dudes, is going to be able to make the team. A lot of the familiar names, I don't know.
And I'm going to circle back real quick. The article I'm referring to is Terry Pluto, obviously, that was put out there. And he's basically said that he still thinks free agent defensive tackle is still in play. Free agent defensive end is still in play. Free agent wide receiver. This could be an indictment on the 2023 NFL draft class by the Browns. And basically saying, look, you know, and with the moves they made, you didn't have a first round pick. But maybe it works out this year. Maybe, you know, maybe the Browns board said, look, we had 16 kids with a first round grade. You know, maybe we only had, you know, 30 kids, 35 kids that we felt deserved a top 63, top 64 grade. So they keep, we talk about kicking the can. They're basically backing away from kicking the can. We'll get proven commodities in here. You know, the biggest question we had is who's wide receiver three? Well, we knew it was Coop. We knew it was Donovan Peoples-Jones. Gee, now we're talking about wide receiver five and wide receiver six, you know, with, you know, more coming in and more. And look, I love Donovan Peoples-Jones, but there is the potential that Elijah Moore could be 2A, 2B with Donovan Peoples-Jones. Whoever you want to say 2A, 2B is, go ahead. That's fine. You all want to argue about that. Go ahead amongst yourselves. Then you bring Goodwin in. You bring Bell. You want to tell me David Bell's wide receiver 4A or 4B and Marquise Goodwin is 4A or 4B? Yeah. Like, you know, it's the old baseball term of giving length to your lineup. The more quality dudes you got in a room, all of a sudden that room just gets exponentially better. You know, look, Michael Woods. I still think Michael Woods right now, if you said we had to pick a dark horse here, Michael Woods blocks. He gets physical, plays some specials. Good shot for him. But, you know, does anybody want to be anybody's wide receiver six? Not necessarily. Jalen Darden, that was a nice move last year. Maybe he's got a shot because now you value Donovan Peoples-Jones so much you don't want him returning. You know, Jakeem Grant, when he redid that contract and there's no more guaranteed money and he's coming off the Achilles, he's basically the oldest guy in the room. Tough spot for Jakeem Grant to be in. Well, I'm sorry, besides Marquise Goodwin. Anthony Schwartz, look, there's no bigger Anthony Schwartz guy than myself. There's not. But you just got to read the tea leaves. You got to read the writing on the wall. And sometimes you say, yo, you know, things ain't lining up here. Dalen Baldwin had a nice couple catches against the Baltimore Ravens from Deshaun Watson. Where's the room? Where's the room for these guys? And with the Browns and sitting at 74, and in segment three, we'll get to a little bit mock draft Monday. You know, you're maybe going, you know, BPA in the draft. The Browns are just going to hit on because unless it's a defensive tackle or defensive end, and you don't take anybody for the sake of I need a defensive tackle or I need a defensive end, it's career suicide. It's the stupidest way to do it. You take your highest player on the board. There's some guys when you get into the 70s where the Browns draft who have nice athletic profiles, have some nice production. It's going to be weird how this wide receiver draft class works out because there's just no headliners. And look, we've had about a decade of great wide receiver classes. Eventually, you know, that vehicle was going to blow a tire on the highway. And this is probably the year. You know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think, is fantastic. In my opinion, he's probably the best wide receiver in this class. Jordan Addison, I think, is fantastic. These guys at Browns are not even going to be able to sniff in any way whatsoever. And when you're looking at what's left for this wide receiver room, it's going to be some things outside of being a true wide receiver. Are you a good blocker? Are you a gunner by chance? Because, you know, we got an opening for a gunner. Jalen Darden, like I said, maybe he's got that opportunity with some returnability because maybe there's an opportunity there, you know, to make this Cleveland Browns roster. It's going to be a tough way to go, but you know, the Browns have to do what they have to do. You can't go from year one of being a team that wins a playoff game and taking Kansas City almost to the final second. Granted, Patrick Mahomes didn't finish that game. That's fine. But it's playoffs or nothing. Because, I mean, now you're talking about guys' jobs, Coach Stefanski's job. I think Andrew Berry is probably a lot more safe than Coach Stefanski is. But this season has to result in playoffs. So we are betting now on sure things. We are not saying, oh, well, this kid in round six, he might be a hidden gem. Well, gee, hidden gems get you a job loss. That's just the way it works. You know what I'm saying? Gambling doesn't succeed as far as, you know, winning in the, oh, well, we like this and in 2 to 3 years. No, none of that. Get me guys in here who know what in the world they are doing. You can't be playing around here anymore. You've got way too much monetarily invested. You know, Jimmy Haslam's got $200 million sitting secured in a bank account to make sure Deshaun Watson gets paid. That's like how serious this is. And look, Jimmy Haslam, $200 million is the equivalent of me and G going out for a couple of steaks and a couple of beers. But it's $200 million of somebody's money. And it has to be So this is where the expectation is this legit. And there's no more fooling around anymore. And we can't wait. And you know what? I think in a couple of months and I think in a season, if you are not ready to be a part of the Cleveland Browns 53-man roster right now, today, and contribute, it's a really, really tough team to make right now. We're going to flip it up here. It's Mock Draft Monday. Things look even different. We talked about this a little bit last week. Last week, Browns were drafting at 42. And we took it from a wide receiver focal point. Well, we don't think it's going to be maybe – I mean, look, wide receiver still could be your first pick, but it's going to switch up here a little bit. So we'll do a little bit of that here. Jeff Lloyd, G. Bush, the latest Locked On Browns. And if you ain't checking us out on YouTube, come on now, guys. Subscribe, notifications on, throw some likes on those episodes. Y'all missing a good party.
Welcome back to the Locked On Browns podcast. Your boy G. Bush, Jeff Lloyd in the building. You know, Jeff, let's, I got a couple things here. Mock Monday is coming up. You know, we really got to take a look at what's going on with these mock drafts and everything that we got going on. I will say this. There has been some guys that have been, there's some guys that are still left on the board. And when you look at it, this mock draft, and this comes from PFF, you could take it with a grain of salt or whatever you want. But there's a couple of guys that they have still on the board when the Browns are selecting with the pick 74. You look at it right here. One of the names that we talk about is a guy, Carl Brooks, out of Bowling Green, a guy who's available.
A local flavor.
Yeah, local flavor of the year. But I will say this. He had a really great Senior Bowl. He was one of the names that come out of that. There's a nice guy, nice receiver, Michael Wilson out of Stanford.
Indeed.
He's projected as the ranked 69th best player that PFF has. Isaiah McGuire is another guy. He's an edge rusher out of Missouri. He's ranked 87th. A guy I like, KJ Henry, edge rusher out of Clemson. I like him a lot. I like his athleticism, like what he can do. There's a couple of receivers that people may know of. First guy, Parker Washington out of Penn State, guy that he played well against Ohio State. He's not a really, a burner or anything, but one of the things that he does high point the football, catch the ball in traffic, very tough. You look at an edge rusher, Mike Morris, defensive end out of Michigan. They have him ranked 101. And then two guys that we seen a little bit of, or three more guys that I really like. We kind of featured one of them. Byron Young is an edge rusher out of Tennessee. He's a little bit older. He'll be available according to PFF. And he's they have him ranked.
It's getting as odd as it is for a guy like Byron Young to be a part of this. It's getting closer where if you're ready to go plug and play day one, the Browns might say, look, we'll slide on some of our preferences, but go ahead.
Yeah. Listen, I like him. And here's the thing.
He's a grown man. He's ready to go.
He's ready to. And plus, it's not a miss. It's not a huge miss. If you have somebody in free agency, the young OG is already here. You already got somebody that you can plug and play. You already have you got guys like Alex Wright that's still there. You got Isaiah Thomas, so you add him to the mix. It's not that bad. And the two more names really quickly: Jaden Reed out of Michigan State. Yep. They have him ranked 104th according to PFF. And Kayshawn Boutte, 103, is a guy out of LSU. Was running really highly ranked guy coming out of LSU. So there are some names right there that should be available at pick number 74 for your Cleveland Browns, just to name a few.
The thing with Kayshawn Boutte, and look, the testing wasn't great, and I don't know exactly what went down at LSU towards the end of this year, but you were getting a guy who we were talking about probably in September was one of the best wide receivers in this class. And if you're the Browns, you can take a gamble with this pick, because if it's going to be late third round, fourth round, and it doesn't work out, he's in camp competing with all these guys we just talked about. Michael Woods, Jakeem Grant, Daylon Baldwin, Jalen Darden. So it don't work out. You can move on from there. For me, I'll highlight this position because I think with what the Browns have draft asset-wise, this tight end class, and look, Harrison Bryant, it's a difficult spot, but for $2.7 million, I think you can get – you've already brought in his replacement, so – if you want to reset that clock at a lot cheaper guy, it's a very, very athletic group. Luke Schoenecker out of Michigan. You know, he's another guy. He had a relative athletic score testing above 9, 6'6", 250. He plays at Michigan. We know he blocks, probably already blocks better than Harrison Bryant. And I'm not dissing Harrison Bryant's blocking ability, but you can do better and for cheaper in that role for Harrison Bryant. You've got to look the way it shakes out here as far as defensive line play, because the Browns would be foolish not to go probably young at D tackle in this draft and get another one young as well at edge. Like you said, iron sharpens iron. Keep, you know, continuing the depth of these rooms. Derek Hall from Auburn, great testing, 6'4", 250. He's kind of like a young 007, as G is, you know, mentioned earlier. Keanu Benton, I go through these simulators. This is a guy that could be had anywhere probably between 75 and 100. If there's the possibility there that this guy is athletic, had a great Senior Bowl week, has an amateur wrestling background, it just screams guy who can be a solid rotational defensive line player. And the key one here is running backs. Look, if you didn't bring Dearness back, and God bless Dearness Johnson, and I talked with Dearness over the weekend, you know, wished him all the best, and he was like, oh, man, thank you. You know, I loved coming on the show. You know, you were one of the first guys to reach out to me after that big Thursday night game. But, you know, to get a chance for him to go home, play, you know, in front of fans, in front of family, you know, for Dearness Johnson, God bless him. But there ain't, you know, Jerome Ford. We all think Jerome Ford could be solid, but you still need more. 8 carries for 12 yards. You are one bad day away from Jerome Ford being your bell cow back. You just can't do it. I will continue to go back to Kenny McIntosh from the University of Georgia. You know, just a guy who is a threat as a receiver and a runner. There's another guy, probably a day 3 candidate out of East Carolina, Keaton Mitchell. He is a one cut and go guy. This guy, he's got some juice. He could fit in, and it would be, you know, minimal carries, but the way the Browns run offensive line run blocks, this guy could be very, very successful. You're probably looking at a corner. There's a kid, Kentrell Clark out of Louisville. He's a straight slot guy. We know the Browns have a lot of guys that they can say maybe he can play the slot. It wouldn't hurt you to say, hey, let's bring in a rookie. We know who can play the slot. We're not counting on him this year. But he's a fallback option if it doesn't work out this year, or when it gets kind of weird next year, when Greg Newsome and Martin Emerson, you know, doing the Spider-Man meme, like, well, is one of us has got to start, and one of us, you know, as far as the slot position is concerned, you know, so these are, you know, names to probably get accustomed to. You know, I hope every quarterback goes off the board early. I hope every offensive tackle goes off the board early.
Yep.
All the things the Browns don't need. Start a run on those suckers early, G. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you want. You want to run on quarterbacks, man. Like, you know, and it's a good year for that. You know, if you look at this mock draft according to PFF, just FYI, you have Bryce Young, who is actually going to be taking number one and have going to the Panthers. C.J. Stroud comes in at second, and he'll be going to the Texans. But they have Will Levis going at 4 to the Colts. They didn't have Anthony Richardson, who I didn't even think was going to be a first-round pick after he came out. He's now jumped all the way till 7. So they got him going at 7. So, you know, when you anytime you have four quarterbacks going in the top, I guess, 10, you're really going to have a lot of guys jumping up there. Another run on positions that we may see. This is one of the deep tight end position groups that we've seen in a while. They have 3 or 4 tight ends going in the first round. So, you know, the Browns obviously don't need one of those. So if you can get a couple runs on guys like that, for every guy that they take, you get somebody, a receiver or defensive line, potentially moving down to you to take off the board.
It's so difficult, you know, to, you know, prognosticate anything as far as when your first pick is 74. It becomes really, really difficult. And we're getting to the final, you know, we're getting to the final moments here of, you know, your pro days and all that stuff, and everything gets put up tight, nice in a bow. And then we all wait for late April to see the way it all plays out for you Cleveland Browns. But the work, you know, the majority of the work, the foundation of the work, the meat and potatoes of the work has been done. I mean, you know, Okoronkwo, you know, Tomlinson, Thornhill, Elijah Moore, you know, bringing the linebackers back. I mean, these guys, in an ideal world, these guys the Browns are going to be drafting are not going to be significant players. You know, if they contribute, that's fantastic. If they have to play a ton, that usually means that probably something unforeseen happened, which you're not hoping for anybody. But, you know, Monday here, new week started, Locked On Browns. Ton covered. Marquise Goodwin joins the fold. State of the wide receiver room, and maybe the Browns, you know, admitting another wrong here and saying, finding the way to correct said wrong and putting the right foundational pieces in place to, you know, make sure and make certain of the success of the biggest investment. Basically, I guess we'll say about the biggest investment in the NFL right now, because we got a lot of people crying about it, in Deshaun Watson. He is Garrett Bush, Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, Monday through Friday on YouTube, 11 to 1. The Barbershop, 92.3, the Fan G host over there every Saturday morning. Make sure you're checking that out. You know, a lot of great coverage. Obviously, that's going to pick up here. Possible Cavaliers playoff run, Guardians opening day coming. So G, I'll have you all covered there as well. Myself, Jeff Lloyd, at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. Show at Locked On Browns. Make sure you make Locked On Browns your first listen. And the best way to do that is being subscribed to the YouTube channel. Make sure you have those notifications on. Throw some likes on the episode. We appreciate everybody who's been, you know, so interactive with us last week, and just another, you know, monster growth here for the show over the last week. And, you know, again, as I'll always say is, you know, the show's not here if nobody doesn't listen. And, you know, a lot of it is because of you people and you guys coming here every day. That's why we try to give you guys the performances that we can. All that being said, of course, this has been your daily delivery of all things Dog Pound. LGB on the LOB. Let's go, Browns.